Mike, you were about 7 hours late to the Bark on Saturday.
Yeah, I was. I thanks for that tweet, pal, saying that the game was at 1. No, I was at the NYPD-FDNY game. Great scene at the Barclays on Saturday night. Probably the biggest crowd they've had for hockey all year. And all the heroes were out there. It was a really good scene.
Well, at least you showed up at the bar because the Islanders didn't.
Didn't on Saturday, that's for sure. Or on Thursday. Actually, the last three times they've been home. Let's put it that way.
We have a lot of yelling to do. Here we go.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
All right, welcome to the show. B. Comp and Carver here with you in New York City. We'll be joined by Liam McHugh from NBC Sports Network in just a few minutes. Wednesday night, rivalry, Islanders and Rangers at the Garden, 8 p.m. start. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. What's going on?
I don't get it, brother. I don't get these efforts. It's frustrating. It's deplorable, really, at the end of the day, how these guys can come out. Every game is the biggest game of the year. That's the point of the season where we are right now, and this is just ridiculous. I don't know what else to say.
It really is. I don't know where to go with it either. To me, it just looks like a team that isn't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like. And the last week has looked like that. We were here on Wednesday. We talked about how bad the Carolina games were, and you thought they would come out against Winnipeg on Thursday night and really give a huge effort, especially after winning the second leg of that back-to-back and playing so poorly at home on Monday. You thought Thursday they'd give you a big effort at home against a team, once again, who had nothing to play for. Let's be honest. Winnipeg's not in the mix, and they did a bad job. And Columbus is a great team. We know that. They've cracked 100 points. They're going to make the playoffs.
They might win the division.
They might win the division. They might win the President's Trophy. They might
win
all that. And you came out and got the early goal from Hamonic. And the second period, the effort just wasn't there. It just wasn't. And so many odd man rushes for Columbus in that game. So many
turnovers.
They were lucky, I felt, to get a point at all on Saturday. And the Johnny goal, listen, you say what you want. There was a bit of luck involved in that one.
Which is fine.
Which you need.
Throw it on net.
You need goals like that throughout the year. But it's not like they grinded hard and got a tying goal there late in the third. Johnny threw one at the net from the blue line and it got in. Who knows if the other goalies are in net there, it gets stopped, whatever. But they were lucky to get that point against Columbus on Saturday. And they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives here over the last 14 games.
And Doug Way comes out after the game Saturday and says, it's the worst two periods I've seen in a year and a half. I don't care who the coach is. He should not have to say anything, Mike. Right?
I'm actually surprised.
Don't these guys know what's on the line here and where they are in the standings? Why should he have to say anything?
He shouldn't. He shouldn't have to say a word.
Where is the pride?
I could think of quite a few periods this year that might have been worse than those on Saturday.
Calgary.
Tampa early back in November. Right. There's a lot of periods this year that could constitute being the worst in a couple years. But he shouldn't have to say things like that. This team should know what's at stake, and they haven't the last few nights out. They get a nice comeback, getting 2 points in Carolina last week, getting 1 point against Columbus. But you dropped a lot of points in the last 7 days that could have helped you get towards the goal here, because you're still right there.
Yep.
They're right there. And now, which is the weird thing that the Islanders are going to do here, they're going to now get into this portion where they've got three or four games in a row against other playoff teams, against quality teams, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Boston. And you can just see it coming. They're going to give you big efforts.
You think?
You just know that they are, because this is what this team does.
You can't possibly be basing this off what we've seen the past couple of games.
No, I'm basing it on what I've seen all year. This team, for some reason, they show up when the big team comes into town. And when they play the Carolinas and the Winnipegs, they don't show up. And I think that they're going to give you a little bit of a big effort here coming up this week.
I hope you're right, Mike. But based on what I've seen the past couple of games, effort-wise, and the roster decisions that this general manager has made, this is all self-inflicted, all of it.
Sure.
Look, it's what, 11:30 on Monday morning? Maybe Halak gets called up in the next 90 minutes?
It'll be 90 minutes after we finish.
The way things have gone for us this year.
It'll be 90 minutes after we finish. And, you keep banging away on it on Twitter to the fans about Pollock. And I get,
it's absurd.
It is absurd.
We have reached the point of complete absurdity. Mike, this makes no – Johnny Boychuk hasn't played in 3 weeks. I know he's skating this morning. Great. Who knows how long it's going to take him to get back into game shape here. How in the world Ryan Pulak has been in the American Hockey League while Boychuk's been out and the rest of the defense hasn't been good?
No, they haven't.
It's completely ridiculous. I looked it up last night because I wanted to get the number right. This is an organization that for the previous four seasons prior to this one played Brian Strait 183 times.
Yeah.
And Ryan Pulak can't be here. This is a GM who probably 10 years to the day, right around this time, traded for Marc-Andre Bergeron, who, for my money, is the worst defenseman I've ever seen as far as longevity in the NHL is concerned. He traded for Bergeron for one reason, his slap shot from the point.
Right.
And here's Ryan Pulak, who cannot crack this roster.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
I'm kind of, and you can
There's
tell
no me. Merit system at all. I know Hickey finally was a healthy scratch on Saturday.
Right. But there's a few guys who you could say have been healthy scratches. You know, you can't healthy scratch them all, unfortunately. And you could tell by my tone, I'm kind of just over with it.
But Mike, his job is just to put the best roster possible on the ice, and he's not doing it.
And
he's clearly not doing it.
And he hasn't done it.
Right.
That's why I don't expect him to start doing it now. And it's unfortunate. The kid should be here. Halak should be here.
Yes.
Okay. We've seen now they're not putting Berube in a game.
You can't.
There's a good chance, and I'm looking at it. We've talked about this. They got two more back-to-backs left, including this Friday and Saturday. You think he's going to play Berube against
he
the Penguins?
He can't play.
Against the Penguins or the Bruins this weekend?
He cannot play.
Yeah, Halak should be here.
You know you can't play J.F. Berube. So why is Halak not here?
Greif's getting worn down here, too. You could see it. Man. His efforts – listen – I've been his biggest champion all year. I have. But the guy clearly needs a rest once in a while. He clearly needs it because he's not as –
Why can Cam Talbot play 65 games?
You're right.
And Greif is tired after what, 37, 38? How many games?
I was the first guy to say he could play every game. Clearly I was wrong because some of these goals he's let in the last week in these Carolina, Winnipeg, and Columbus games, it tells you differently. I still think he would be the starter over Halak. But Halak should be here.
He's played 46
to
games.
Give him,
and
to
he's
give
tired?
Him.
I don't buy it, Mike. And look, a lot of it is the guys in front of him, which goes back to Pulak. Look,
that's
I know Ryan Pulak
either.
Is never going to win the Norris. I know he's not Drew Doughty. But you watch this power play, and you see how horrible it is.
Right.
And you have a guy, a right-handed shot like Boychuk, who's not playing because he's injured, with a 102-mile-an-hour slap shot. This guy can't help your power play?
No, and you know what else? They could use the juice, too. They could use the spark.
God, look at what Hosang has done for them.
Yeah, he has. He's a couple bad giveaways on Saturday, but he's
been great
otherwise.
And you know that's going to happen.
That is going to happen, and you're going to have to deal with that. That's part of rolling the dice and playing him like they've been, and he's been great for them. But he had a couple bad spots there on Saturday. But you got to live with it just like you'd have to live with it if Pulock was in there and he'd have to play. You'd live with whatever he gave you on the defensive end because you know he can help you offensively. I don't get it. I'm not going to sit here. Maybe I should go and say that he's never going to play for the Islanders again, and then they'll call him up. Maybe that's the answer right now. But I just don't. I don't see him making. They could use the juice, but I don't see them doing it. Here's why I say that. If you haven't done it by now, what are you waiting for?
Right.
That's like you said. There's 14 games left here. It's March 20th, whatever it is today, and you still haven't gone to the move. So. Why are you going to go to it on March 25th or March 30th when the season's over? What are you waiting for to make the move?
I don't know. And look, I know
Garth. Tells me it ain't going to be made.
Garth is obviously not happy with the Alan Walsh tweets back in October, November, whatever it was, and he's holding a grudge.
Straight out banished.
But at the end of the day, have to bite the bullet and put the best roster on the ice as you possibly can.
You're trying to
make the playoffs.
There's two things you cannot do this week. I don't think you could play Greif both nights against Pittsburgh and Boston, and you sure can't play Berube in one of those games.
You can't.
So if you guard Snow, like you said, you have to put the grudges aside because clearly he's holding one. You have to put the grudges aside and say, listen, I need this guy to play one of these two games this weekend. I just do. He's been sharp. He's been playing at Bridgeport. He needs to play one of these two games.
He does.
I don't think he's going to. But he needs to play one of these two games.
If he's not here today, he's not coming back.
It's the same as Paul.
You're going to call him up tomorrow?
What are you waiting for?
Right.
What exactly are you waiting for to make this move? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I know, Garth could do basically whatever he wanted while Charles owned the team. He was never going to get fired while Wong was the majority owner.
Right.
I mean, look, there has to be some pressure on this guy now. This is absurd what's going on.
I don't think.
It is his job to put the best product he possibly can on the ice, and he clearly is not doing it for whatever reason.
No, he's not. He's just not. But there are some guys out on the ice, too, who they're not doing their pulling their weight either on the main club. There's guys that aren't pulling their weight. They just aren't.
Who do you got?
And things
go, who are you mainly?
The usual
the same guys, Brock Nelson.
The usual suspect.
Yeah.
Well,
Brock was
I killed
so
Brock
bad
too much,
against
apparently,
Winnipeg.
So I killed Brock too much. So I'll leave Brock alone today, right? Because he never does anything wrong. So we'll skip on Brock this week. There's guys that just aren't. I mean, listen, I don't know.
That's the other thing, too.
Johnny hasn't been around much either. I know he scored on Saturday, but he's had a tough couple weeks.
Look, this is on Doug. I don't want to see Alan Quine in the lineup over Anthony Beauvillier.
Yeah.
I don't care how many mistakes the kid makes. I want to see him in the – if Alan Quine is in the lineup over Anthony Beauvillier, it's completely ridiculous.
I agree with you there.
Especially Cizikas is just coming back from an injury. You need a guy who can win a faceoff.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I didn't get it, sitting him in the Winnipeg game. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. But like you say, the kid has a bad game. It seems like they sit him down for one. And that's just the way that they're operating things right now. And I think he, like you say, he's a better person to have in there than Quine or Gianta. I know Gianta gives you a little juice when he goes in there every couple games.
Right.
He gives you a little spark, you know, a little guy who runs around. I think that you have to go with the best 12 forwards that are going to get you there. And as much as I can't stand Brock Nelson, he's one of the best 12 forwards you would say that can get you there. I'm not sitting here saying you should sit Brock Nelson over Alan Quine. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I'm also saying that he gives you nothing. Okay, he's not giving you what you need. And there's a few guys that aren't. And things need to pick up. They just do. Because this is it. 14 games to go. Not a lot left in the tank here.
Absolutely. Joining us now on the phone from NBC Sports Network, it's Liam McHugh. Liam, Brian Compton and Mike Carver here in New York City. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Big game at the Garden Wednesday night. Obviously the biggest of the Islanders season. What do you make of these past couple of games? I just don't see enough desperation. What do you think?
I think they could probably use a little bit more of it. And there's nothing like having a rivalry game like this to maybe amp that up a little bit. But, this stretch run and now this just last playoff push really snuck up on a lot of people in this league because I think, we've been so focused on what's going on with Washington and Pittsburgh and Columbus and to some extent if the Rangers are in a better spot being in that fourth spot in the Metro. And all of a sudden we're looking at this very, very tight situation with the Islanders and Toronto and the wild card race. And desperation would be a big thing. It would definitely help. And this is a huge game. And it could be the type of game, you have these rivalry games. It could be the type of game where if you come out, you give a good effort, and you get the result that you need. It could propel a team down the last few weeks and into the playoffs. But right now, I have to say I'm inclined to go with Toronto in this spot.
Yeah, and don't forget about Liam Tampa, who, of course, has gotten
back
into it despite not having any of their guys. You know, they trade Bishop, they trade Boyle. Stamkos hasn't played all year. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking that those are the guys that the Islanders need to be worried about for that last spot. And I know Toronto's got youth. It's really a weird mix because you got the one team that's gone deep into the playoffs the last few years. You got another team that hasn't been to the playoffs in years. And then you got the Islanders right in the middle who have made the playoffs but haven't really done anything.
What Tampa's done is amazing.
Yeah.
And you're right to point it out because, I mean, they unloaded at the deadline, completely sold, which is, a strange scene considering what everyone expected from Tampa Bay going into the season was, this is a team that's going to compete for a Stanley Cup. It should be right in the mix, should be one of the best teams. And I think, for years they were kind of built that way going forward. It's a young team, talented team, but they unloaded and then they played better. And I got to tell you, if there's even a chance that Stamkos can come back in the playoffs, given what this team has done now, up to this point, I think if you're the Caps or you're the Pens or Columbus for that matter, and you're looking at that one seed, the one team you probably don't want is Tampa.
Yeah.
Because they have the experience. They've been there. They know how to win. They have a coach that knows how to do that. And the idea that maybe Stamkos could come back, I don't want anything to do with Tampa if I'm the one seed in the East. What they've done is pretty amazing. In fact, I think you'd probably prefer Toronto gets in because at least, last year the Islanders got in. They won. They won a series. They got to the second round. There is some experience there. So I think if I think Toronto's going to get in, and I think if you are the one seed, you probably would prefer Toronto.
Liam, the way Columbus is going, NBC might get a Pittsburgh-Washington first-round series. I'm sure, much to the delight of you and your bosses, it would be pretty crazy to see those two teams battle in the first round, right?
It would be crazy. And, you know, if you thought there was going to be animosity from the general public about the idea of them playing again in the second round, you know, in this playoff format, you're going to hear it really, really quickly from a lot of people from coast to coast if they have to play in the first round. I mean, listen, the playoff format is what it is, and, you know, it's problematic, and I get the idea that you want to build rivalries, but you do want to see the best teams play in the biggest games, which means you want to see the best teams in the East match up in that Eastern Conference final. And it really, let's face it, doesn't look like we're going to get that. And also, if it doesn't work out, if Columbus is the two seed or the three seed, talk about, you know, what a congratulations for the greatest regular season in franchise history.
Yeah.
Hey, great job. Fantastic run. You have that winning streak. You get Pittsburgh, first round. The Stanley Cup champs. Enjoy that one. I mean, that's rough. Enjoy the Coach of the Year award, but you could be out in the first round.
It's going to be a lot of fun, Liam, absolutely. Let's get back to Wednesday night here because you're a guy who's got some Long Island and New York roots. And so it's got to be special for you having a big, you know, this is your big rivalry night game, NBC every Wednesday, and you get Islanders Rangers on it here. Got to be extra fun for you.
I'm excited about it. You know, we don't have the Islanders on a lot. I'm always pumped up when we do. I'm very excited that we have it in a big spot, that it's late in the season. And I like these. I love these rivalry games where you feel that hatred. You really do. There's zero manufactured about this at all. You can hear it from the crowd, the players. They know they don't like each other. We see that with Philly and Pittsburgh as well. But I love this. I'm fired up. And I'll be, I live on Long Island now. I grew up on Long Island. I'll go to the deli. I'll go pick up pizza. And I'm going to hear about it for the next few days. People are going to be voicing their opinions about what's going to happen here. And I love that. I don't know. It is special. It definitely is. It takes me back, and I'll probably get a lot more phone calls from friends and probably people I haven't heard from in a while in the next few days. In fact, I'll probably get a few today asking for tickets, which I don't have. So if anyone's listening to this, please do not call me. I don't have them. I'm not lying to you. But no, it's really special, and you can see it from the players. There's an extra gear that they take it to.
Liam, being a Herricks High School alum, were you a diehard Islanders fan growing up? Do you have any special memories of going to the Coliseum, anything like that?
Yeah, when I was very young, obviously, you know, the Islanders were kings out here. I mean, they were everything. And, I have a lot of special memories about going to the Coliseum. And, you know, it's the first place I saw major sporting events. And, you know, I grew up 10 minutes away. And it always holds a special place for me. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where I grew up here. I did not play hockey growing up. I played basketball. I played soccer. So I tended to go away from it a little bit in my high school years. The Islanders also were not great. The Rangers were very good while I was in high school. And I became a Knicks fan, which I suffered through Jordan and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But at least they were making the playoffs back then, so... Those are much happier times for Knicks fans. But, yeah, the Coliseum was a place that it was not a palace when I was there as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of that. But it was loud.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a different feel. And I remember as I got older and you go to different places, and some of them, maybe they were a little bit dressed up. Maybe they were a little prettier. They weren't as loud. They didn't seem as intense of an environment as I remember as a little kid going to Islanders games. So to me, that's what live sports was all about. When you got there, you know, you felt that burst of energy. And, you know, I'll always love the Coliseum for that. And, you know, it's a different age right now. And now we're just wondering, you know, where are they going to be in a few years?
Yeah.
Liam, you work with a lot of great talents, of course, on the broadcast. I love JR, love Jonesy, and, of course, a man near and dear to Islander fans' hearts is, of course, one of the other guys that's up there with you, Mike Milbury. How is it out there being – you know, you grew up an Islander fan. You know how this goes. How is it being out there doing the broadcast with Mike all the time? Because he's great for TV. We know that.
He's fantastic for TV. And truth be told, I love working with the guy. You know, in my line of business, the last thing I want is to be bored, and he is rarely ever a boring person to be around. He's highly opinionated. He can look at things from all different perspectives, which most people on air cannot, you know, coach, GM, player, which is a great thing to have. But I will tell you this. You know, I mentioned the idea that I go out this week. I go to the deli. I go to the pizzeria. I go get bagels. I'll hear from different people. There are places that I now don't go because that's all I do. I have people who would love for me to pass on a message to Mike Milbury for that, which I can't repeat right now. But, you know, I'll come back home and I'll say to my wife, I said, I think from now on you're going to have to go to that deli. I'm not going back there.
All right, but tell us this, Liam. You know, the cameras go off. It's a commercial break. You have said to him at least once, dude, Ole Kavasha for Roberto Luongo, really?
It's always lingering. It's in the background. You know, it's one of those things where and listen, he has to give an opinion on things, and I will give him credit that, like, he doesn't shy away and say, like, I made a bad decision, so I can't give an opinion on this, because he's being paid to give an opinion. So I do give him credit for that. But, yeah, I mean, there are things that come up, and they're in the back of your mind, and you're like, you know what, let's wait till the commercial. For everyone's safety, really. So. But, you know, he knows he's a realist, and he knows the situation. He's not shying away from it, and the truth is, and just so people know, I love working with the guy. And you know, as I mentioned before, I was a hockey fan, but I think as I got a little bit older, I was a little bit more of a casual hockey fan. So when I got to NBC, I needed people who were willing to let me learn, and people who were really going to be patient and teach me things as I grew into this role. And Mike has been great in that regard.
Well, you guys do a really good job. Seriously, we really mean it. Liam, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. Be well. Special thanks to Liam McHugh. Follow him on Twitter, @Liam_McHugh. Mike, speaking of bad GMs, Liam's partner there at NBC Sports Network, Mike Milbury, who, look, I will say this. I cracked into this business in 1999. The following year, our old friend Chris Botta got me a 45-minute sit-down. Yeah. With Mike Milbury, and to this day, it's still the best interview I've ever done.
I'll say this about Mike, and he was a terrible general manager.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he did some just awful things.
To be fair,
to the organization,
he had some crappy owners as well.
Sure, he had a tough stretch there, but he was a terrible general manager.
Yeah.
The one thing you could say, there's a couple things you could say about Mike. A, he's good for TV because he speaks his mind.
Yeah.
And B, like you just said, your interview, you did 40. He always would talk to the media and forever.
So candid.
You, like you just said, 45 minutes. I remember a time he went on with Mike and the Mad Dog, and this was after, I forget who.
When
somebody,
Chris Russo
fired somebody.
How are you still the GM?
Yeah, exactly.
When they fired LaViolette.
When they fired LaViolette.
Yeah.
How are you still the GM? And he stayed on the phone with those guys for almost an hour.
Yeah,
so
great
that tells
radio.
You that he didn't mind he would take, do some back and forth.
Yep.
So he was a terrible general manager, but great for the media, like you just said. So.
Thanks again to Liam. That was great stuff. He seems to think Toronto is going to grab that second wild card. Of course, that's a team I wrote off last week, and they played okay.
Well, here's the thing, and I thought that's why I asked him. You have three very different situations here, because Tampa, not the same team, but a lot of the same, still have quite a few guys that have made deep runs the last 2 years.
Kucherov is
so good. Oh, he's awesome.
Good God.
And we don't know when they're getting Stamkos back.
Right.
He could show up tomorrow.
Yep.
He could show up in 3 weeks. We have no idea. They don't have Bishop and Boyle and a few guys, but they're still a team that is, in the last 2 years, Stanley Cup final and then Eastern Conference final.
Great coach.
Then you have the Maple Leafs, who have done nothing forever and have all young kids who have not been in the playoffs.
And are going to be good forever.
And are going to be good for a while, and this is their first taste of possibly getting in. And then in the middle sit the Islanders, who have made the playoffs, only won one series. It really is strange. They're all three of them have such different backgrounds in the past couple of years in terms of how they're going to, you know, what to look for here down the stretch as we have, for most teams, 12 to 14 games left in that area.
Yeah, I still think it's Tampa's wild card to lose. I know Toronto's still playing well. Good for them. They're playing with house money with all those great young kids that they have. Frederick Anderson's a pretty good goalie. I'm not crazy about their blue line. I think that's their Achilles heel. But as far as the Islanders go, Mike, you look at the schedule. They got tough games coming up this week.
Right.
You see what they did last week, which was another tire fire. And then you look at the last week of the regular season.
Four road
games. They're on the road.
Yeah.
How are they going to make the playoffs? They're going to have to win eight or nine games, you think, here down the stretch they get in, I think.
Especially when, like I said, it seems like they play down to competition some for the most part. You know, when they play the Carolinas and the Buffaloes and the Devils, and I'm not saying they haven't beaten these teams this year, but it doesn't seem like you get the same effort that you get as when the Islanders play the Rangers or when they play the Penguins or the Capitals, you know, earlier in the year. It just doesn't seem like you get that same effort from the team. They went out on that road trip. Edmonton, they played great. I know Calgary's a good team, and they got waxed out there. In Columbus, they got waxed. But Chicago, they brought huge effort.
They did enough on
Edmonton,
that trip.
They brought really huge effort.
That's what makes these past couple of games so disheartening.
Right.
To come off the trip the way that they did and to play like this at home, it's just inexcusable.
It's tough to see, and they really need to get it done. I think that they're going to give you something this week. Maybe that's just me.
I hope you're right.
Going out on a limb, last stand at the OK Corral here for them, I think, because if they get whitewashed.
This is it. No, this
they
is
got
it.
White. If they come out of this week with, you know, 1 point out of six.
And
we've buried them before.
And the Rangers stink at home.
There's still – it's a one-point differential here. They're 1 point back.
I know.
With one team 1 point behind them, it's still so tight. This week might not be the end-all, be-all on if they make the playoffs because these other two teams are in the same boat as them. They're not playing –
They've got to get 4 points this week, don't they?
You would think that they should, but I'm
regardless of the – first of all, you can't worry about the other teams.
No.
The Islanders have to get 4 points.
You just have to do what you have to do because they don't play either of them again.
You have to get 4 points.
I think you got to get 4 points. I would probably honestly sign for three.
I know that doesn't sound.
I think three keeps them in it. I think three keeps them. It makes us sit here again next week talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
That they needed any 4 points this week. I feel like 3 points this week, it's going to be, we're going to be sitting in the same spot that we're sitting in today. That's clearly how I think it's going to go all the way to the end.
And they are in Pittsburgh Friday, is that correct?
Yes.
The Josh Hosang show.
Oh, geez.
That is going to be a disaster.
That should be fun. I can't wait to see the signs and everything from all the Penguin fans who just have nothing else to worry about.
He has to know what's in store for him. He's going to get booed every time he touches the puck.
I'm sure
he's going to love it. Go out there and get a hat trick.
But he's the kind of kid who's going to love that.
Absolutely.
Stuff. He's not going to be
go
afraid of
Go out there
of
and
that.
Get a hat trick.
He's going to relish that opportunity. When they start booing him when he touches the puck, he seems like the kind of kid who he's going to say, oh, yeah, you want to boo me?
I think he loves
Watch
it.
This.
Yeah, I think
you know,
he loves it.
I think there's some guys who turtle when that happens to them.
Yeah.
I don't think Hosang's one of those guys. He's going to continue to go and do what he does.
Agreed. You want to talk about the Winter Classic next year?
Yeah.
Should be fun. Some people aren't happy about it.
It always happens right after we get off. Like last week.
Of course.
And it's not completely officially announced by the NHL yet. We know that. But Rangers and Sabres at Citi Field, you got a problem with this at all?
I don't care.
Yeah. I know,
this isn't even official, but I know somebody asked me about it last week. I'd rather play the Rangers in the playoffs than outside in January.
Yeah.
Just my take.
No, I'm with you, and I know it seems silly because the Sabres are going to be the home team.
That's the deal the Rangers have.
Because the Rangers can't. Yeah. And listen, it's a Ranger home game. They just found a way around it. To have an extra home game. And the Sabres don't mind giving up the home game because they get a national spotlight on New Year's Day on Winter Classic. I get it.
And it'll draw off. It's going to do a 50 in Buffalo. I mean,
of course.
Right.
But I get it. You're upset because it's the Islanders' backyard, quote unquote. Guys, there's plenty of Ranger fans on Long Island and Queens, too. Okay,
there are.
And it's just you just have to. There's no way that NBC was going to put the Islanders and the Rangers on New Year's Day to the national audience. There just wasn't. And they want the Rangers in the game. They're also spinning you this. It's 10-year anniversary, and Buffalo was in the first game. But it is what it is. I think people got a little too upset by it last week.
Just look, like I said, I'd rather see him play the Rangers in a best-of-7 in April.
That's more important than playing him on New Year's Day outside in a game where most people can't even see the rink anyway.
I mean, I like outdoor games. I think they're fun. The game at Wrigley Field in 2009 was amazing.
Right. I mean, I was at the one in Philly with the Rangers and the Flyers. But, when you're in a baseball stadium for the most part, you can't see the rink. Just like at Yankee Stadium for those two Stadium Series games. Nobody saw that game.
How does that stadium not have windows in the press box, by the way?
Oh, that was cold that night.
That's a franchise that's built for games in October, and you don't have windows in the press box?
I haven't played.
I know the fans don't care. They don't care if I freeze to death. I'm watching the game for free.
I actually left the press box that night and just walked around.
It was
warmer to just walk. But either way, just calm down about it. It's not that big a deal, I don't think.
4 points.
I say they get three. I'm going three.
And can we see Yaroslav Halak at least this week?
I think that it would be in their best interest to play him either Friday or Saturday.
Amen.
I don't think they're going to. which is the kiss of death. There you go. You could all come and yell at me afterwards, but
no, we thought he was coming last week.
I don't think they're going to.
We thought he was coming last week.
Clearly, the grudge and the banishment continues, but he should play one of those games.
It is Dark Stop to put the best product on the ice. We'll see it. Mike, see you next week.
All right, brother.
Thanks again to Liam McHugh. Thanks for listening to the Point Blank Podcast. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.